Random thought. Remember back in college, you had the slow jams mixtape, the love tape, the sex tape, and not like the video, but the cassette, the sex tape. And it was a tape that you would put in if you had a girl coming over to your dorm or your college apartment and you thought some things were going to happen. Did you have a tape? And if so, what was your go-to song when you knew when this song comes on, it's about to go down?
I'll be honest with you, man. I obviously was one of those outliers who did not have that tape or that song that I put on because I knew it was going to get her in the mood. No, because look, if I can't do it, I don't need the music to do it, right? I think when music was played, for me, it was more like she was like, you want to put some music on? All right, if you want to break this, all right, hold on, I'll be right back. Press play. Obviously, it wasn't any, I had some slow songs ready, but it wasn't my go-to. I always thought that was kind of cheesy, right? And apparently, I think if you talk to most women, they'll go, no, that kind of set the mood, right?
That's what I thought until this weekend. So this.
Uh-oh. So you're saying I was right? It was cheesy?
No. That's exactly what I thought. I thought you set the mood. It's a bit of a buildup. I was with some, a friend of mine has a business that she's starting. And I went to go out and check it out. And it's called Picture Perfect Picnic. So it's like a pop-up picnic. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize, you know, what it was. She just told me, hey, I'm doing this thing. You should come out. So I was already out running errands. So I definitely was not dressed for a picnic. Mm-hmm. But of course, it was all women that were there. So like, I'm the only guy and like nine women. We're just having all kind of random conversations, talking, you know, drinking wine and whatever. This topic had came up. And so they were asking me, like, what music did you have? I said, I remember in college, it was like the R. Kelly 12 play tape, which, you know, I wouldn't listen to.
That's such a curse word now. Yeah, that's a curse word.
I know, I wouldn't listen to now, but back in college, that was a slam.
Really? R. Kelly?
Yeah. And so they were saying, like, I was like, yeah, you know, I would figure after two or three songs, you know, that would set the mood. And then all these girls, like, two or three songs? That's like 10 minutes. That's a waste of time. I said, it should just be your first song. And, like, we're going to get right to it. I was like, really? Because I thought, set the mood, build up. But apparently, I've been wrong.
Wait, hold up. We got to clarify this real quick because I need to understand what songs they're talking about because this may determine some things because, you know, women always talk about men and foreplay and you got to spend more time on foreplay. Foreplay doesn't last a song. So your 10 minutes to me seems about right. You know what I mean? Because women are going to ask for 10, 15 minutes of foreplay. Get everything right, you know? So them saying, nah, just get to it. Now that's the kind of party I'm talking about, but still, what songs are they
I just thought it was I thought it was interesting because I've never really been someone that I have to have music. Hmm. But I'm thinking like the music on, you're just sitting having wine, you're talking, and then you kind of get into it. Oh, no, they're like, press play. It's go time. And so some of the songs that I heard were you had like Jodeci. You had almost said Backstreet Boys. Blackstreet is what I meant to say. You had some that said Prince and. Two of them said, Nine Inch Nails, I want to F you like an animal. And I was just like, And I'm familiar with the song, but I just think that's hilarious. Just hit play, and it's go time. Looks like we've been doing this wrong. Mm-hmm. At least maybe I was doing it wrong back in my younger years. Mm-hmm. And any guys that listen to the show, I would love to hear your comments on what's your go-to song. A, do you still have a mix? And hopefully now you don't have a tape anymore. It's digital, but hopefully you're not, like you have a set playlist for that. Because if you just do shuffle, you could be in the middle of some hot romantic stuff. Then all of a sudden, one of your kids' songs comes on, like Baby Shark, in the middle of it. Like,
not if you have the playlist set right.
Do you just push through? Or do you stop and go... Change the song.
You just change the rhythm, baby shark. You just change the rhythm. That's all. But also, ladies, what songs were it for you? Because I mean, and does it even matter? Did a playlist really matter? And you know, you think about the difference when you were in college. It was that this different mindset than as you get older. But
maybe we just have to start asking questions. Like we have different playlists. We have the playlist where hey, you're somebody that needs to kind of build up mood and take your time. Got it. You know, play one. Oh, you're somebody that's like, you know, let's take this shot real quick and turn the music on. Okay, play this too. Like, you just kind of have it set. But you maybe have to ask, like, hey, so how are you feeling? Are we is this date night? Is this real date night? Okay, so we're gonna go too. Yeah, and it also depends. It's like, oh, you gotta leave because you gotta let the dog out and you gotta get the kids up early. So we only got 10 minutes. Okay, play this 3.
Oh my God! Welcome to the show. I'm Yachty Root,
and I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
We are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts podcast, episode 81. Be sure to like, subscribe, and definitely leave a comment.
Indeed. You know, a lot of crazy stuff in the news this week, man. One of the interesting things that popped up was when Clarence Thomas went to the hospital, right? I'm not going to say we weren't wishing for his health. We were just like, is Biden going to get another pick? But he made it out. and then, of course, more stories came out, like this one about his wife and a text she had with, was it Mark Meadows at the White House? And just texts that she had with people telling them to overturn the election. Like, she's a big Trumpist. And come to find out, when it came down to, and you clarify this one, dealing with January 6th, she had a lot to say, but then Clarence Thomas also went the same route that she did, and the only Supreme Court justice that did.
Correct. So she was at the Stop the Steal rally, so mm-hmm. she went to it, which I find interesting that even though you can have your political views, I'm not saying you can't, mm-hmm. but you got to think of how that reflects on your husband, who mm-hmm. is a Supreme Court justice. So she goes to that, and then she's texting Mr. Meadows all kind of crazy stuff, release the Kraken, you know, this is a heist, and all this just nutty stuff, you know. And so for the fact that Clarence Thomas be the only one that voted no compared to all the other Supreme Court justices, it leads the people to believe that his vote was influenced mm-hmm. by his wife. Now, they claim that they are the best of friends and they don't talk politics, they keep it separate, but I just don't see how that's true.
But not only that, I mean, Supreme Court justices are supposed to be nonpartisan. We know they're not because, and it's supposed to be, well, about the letter of the law. And we realize that we know it's not. That's why everybody tries to pack the court with liberal judges or with conservative judges, because it's all about going down your side of the line, right? And this is a perfect example of if everybody else goes this way and he's the only one that says, no, there shouldn't be any charges, And I want to get this exactly right as to what he actually the lone dissent was on, because it's really interesting. It was rejecting Trump's bid to withhold documents, right? So Trump wanted to withhold certain documents. All the justices were like, no, you have to give them up. You're the president of the United States. All these have to come out. And he's the only one saying no. And his wife is the one. Not anybody else's wife saying, oh, you know, Biden is our real president. Nobody else's wife or husband is saying anything like that. His mm-hmm. wife is the one saying, stop the steal. Yeah, and you're the only justice that doesn't mm-hmm. want Trump to give all the documents? That's telling me a lot about you. But, you know, we knew Clarence Thomas was sketchy from the get-go, the whole Anita Hill thing anyway. But this.
Yeah. Well, do you think that he knew that there's some stuff that's going to come out and probably could involve his wife. Mm-hmm. And so that's why maybe he was trying to say no. Mm-hmm. And here we are, mm-hmm. you know, but I think it is very interesting that this has come to light, and it makes you just wonder, like, if you're in a relationship with somebody, and especially in the political world that we live in,
right,
your politics can reflect on your partner somehow.
Right.
And I just don't get her mindset to, A, go to the Stop the Steal rally, mm-hmm. knowing who you are. And that's you could vote and think all that stuff, but you got to really think how this is going to have a negative impact on Clarence Thomas. Right. I think that Clarence Thomas should be held accountable and there should be an investigation to try to understand why he had that vote that way. Because to me, it smells
fishy. And every other vote he's had, yes.
Yeah. And then you got to, like, question every other vote mm-hmm. that he's had since then. So I'm all for them digging into this, because to me, something doesn't smell right.
Man, you know, you think of people in the same house. And here's the thing about it. It's not like they have different views, because Clarence Thomas was appointed by President Bush for mm-hmm. the reason, right, that he was a conservative judge. So we know he's a conservative. However, this gets more than just being conservative in the sense of, especially with Trump and this whole stop the steal crap, because we know what it really was. It was bullshit, right? And it's just that Trumpism. That's a little far, that's more political than it is an ideology, right? Being conservative mm-hmm. is an ideology. This Trump stop the steal crap is political. And that's the big difference. Now, because you've got people like James Carville and Mary Madeline, right? They've been married since 93. They are literally the complete opposites. He is a staunch Democrat, has been there in the Clinton White House, been there with everybody along the way. You've seen him on CNN over the years. If you watch the whole lead up to the 08 election, you've seen him on TV. And his wife is the exact opposite. I mean, they are literally like country music and hip hop. They're the complete opposites of each other, but yet very similar because as they stand for themselves, right? But they make it work because they don't discuss, they talk about it. They don't discuss politics in the house because otherwise they're going to have fights. This is work. This is home. I love you. This is what it is. So is it possible? Yes. In this case with Clarence Thomas, and it's not because I don't like Clarence Thomas. It's just that it's a difference between political and ideological. And this, his wife shows absolutely no care for his position in this case. Why? Because she feels comfortable enough to do it. There's a reason.
Exactly. And, you know, James Carville's wife wasn't at this rally and sent a text to Mr. Meadows, you know, and James Carville can't impact what happens to the people or trying to get documents from the president. He has no impact. So technically, she could have done all that. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't have had a negative impact on James Carville. But in this case, what Jeannie Thomas did to Clarence, I feel like there's some collusion in that. And I don't have an issue with Clarence Thomas. I've always looked at him side-eye because of the whole Anita Hill thing.
Yep.
But, hey, you're a Supreme Court justice. You know, there's not a lot of, not a lot of African-American Supreme Court justices. I think it was, Thurgood Marshall first and then
Then Clarence Thomas. And if all goes well now, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Right. So, I mean, hey, there's that. It's historic. Mm-hmm. But I really think there's something foul about this, and I hope that it gets looked into. Maybe that's why he went to the hospital. He's like, oh, shit, something's just about to blow up this week. I need to go lay low for a few days.
Right. So. You know, here's the thing, though. And when I talk about going through some of his records, I mean, there's another case that popped up recently, and it's Austin versus U.S. Navy SEALs 126, right? And this actually made it to the Supreme Court because basically it was this Navy SEAL who didn't want to take the vaccine. And there was a court that said he didn't have to. And it made it all the way to the Supreme Court. And as it goes to the Supreme Court, there are three justices who dissent from the court, from the case, right? And that would be Judge Alito, Judge Gorsuch, and, of course, our favorite, Judge Justice Clarence Thomas. Again, the difference in this is because, and what makes this so harsh is because if Supreme Court is saying you don't have to follow direct command, our military doesn't have to follow direct commands, that's a problem. And I mean, I get mm-hmm. it. Putin has his military doing things against humanity. And you're like, well, in that case, you'd have to, you shouldn't follow those orders. Here, you made a choice to go into the military, right? There's no draft bringing anyone. You have to follow the orders. If you don't follow the orders, there are consequences. Plain and simple. That's how the military works.
Yeah, I always think of A Few Good Men mm-hmm. when Jack Nicholson says, we follow orders or people die. It's that simple.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I grew up around the military, but that's one thing I understood. Like, you follow orders. And the commander-in-chief, if they say do this, you have to do it. There are a lot of people who went to go fight in Iraq, a lot of people who went to go fight many places that didn't really want to, mm-hmm. but this was the direction. This was mm-hmm. the order. You're given a mission. You have to go execute it.
Yeah.
That's how that is. Now, for this Navy SEAL, which a Navy SEAL shocks me with all the different things they've been in.
Right.
And I would be curious to see if this Navy SEAL has analyzed every other injection that he's received in the military up until this point. Did he fight
every single
one of them? Those
other vaccines weren't political.
Exactly. It's like, so you're in the military. You've taken all kinds of shots for stuff. And you have no idea what it was. You're getting processed. Next.
You're in camp, you're getting salt, Peter, don't even know it.
Exactly. You have no idea. But for you to like make this whole, because it's political with the vaccine, it's just, and I think you're right. People just find ways to politicize something. Mm-hmm. And maybe if he winds up getting, is he still active duty or did he get discharged?
I didn't get to the back end of it. I think he's still
well, I'm
in.
Curious, because if he's still in, maybe this is something you can do to kind of ease your way. You're going to get discharged because you're not going to follow the command. And then now you can write your book and tell your story and get a bunch of Republicans to support you. And you can say, I was fought for my country, da, 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 and I believe I have a right. And you can do all that stuff and make your money. Maybe that's the end game here.
And that's where, so the article I read on this, one of the things they were talking about is not, this case is not the problem. What makes it problematic, especially with three justices dissenting on this case, is not the fact about this case. It's about future cases, right? Because what if somebody says, I don't want to follow this order? And that's where the problem comes in, right? So as we talk about Supreme Court justices, you know, the hearings, Senate confirmation hearings this week of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, two of our favorite senators were front and center. Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, of course, as he, you know, but he said from the get-go he was going to vote no, right? Which, mm-hmm. Lindsey, we knew that. We know you're an idiot, so it's okay. But then he had this whole, through his three-year-old tantrum and walked out of the hearings. To the point that he's asking questions, and as she's answering him, he keeps interrupting her. Well, you're not answering my questions. I'm like, dude, calm down. But then your guy, Ted Cruz, also, not to be outdone.
Yeah, because he has to find a reason to go viral. Yes. Right? He has to do something at least every other week just to keep him relevant. And so when he gets up to grill Judge Brown, he's asking her about this book by Ibram X. Kendi called Anti-Racist Baby. Mm-hmm. And asks her, talks about the book, and apparently she's on the board of a school, and he was saying that this book is at the Georgetown Day School was being taught to these kids. And he asked her, do you approve of that? She goes, well, I'm on the board. The board does not, you know, make decisions on, you know, curricula. We don't pick that out. Then he asked her, do you think babies can be racist? And I'm just like, Ted, like, you are an intelligent man. I don't like him. But the dude is smart. Mm-hmm. What kind of question is that to ask somebody? Do you think babies can't be racist? It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But thanks for his idiocy. You know, Kendi's book shot to the top of Amazon's bestseller list, mm-hmm. you know, after that. So he is doing some good to help. But that's just a dumb question. I just don't understand why you would ask something like that.
Yeah, you know, it's again, it's all political in this case. I mean, for him, it's you know, I'm going to go and I'm going to rile up my base because I can't believe they're teaching this to our kids. You know, like, critical race theory is really being taught in grade school. Of course not. It's not. And let's be honest. Are babies racist? No. But their parents are. So how do babies learn this stuff? Babies don't learn to hate somebody based on skin color, right? Kids don't mm-hmm. learn that. I mean, they're not born with that. They learn that because what kids know is if you're playing with a toy that I want, no, that's what I'm going to be mad at you because I want that toy. Or you took the toy, I want it. That's what kids don't like each other about. They may mm-hmm. notice that, hey, you look different than me. Just like boys and girls, girls will see a boy and go, well, you have that, I don't have one, right? It's same, they're curious, but it's what's taught to them.
Right.
By who? The people at home that teach yep. them these things. So, Ted Cruz, no. You know, babies aren't racist. Their parents, like you, can be, though.
Ouch. Now, here's what I want to make sure that we add about this. Judge Brown Jackson is qualified, mm-hmm. by, you know, beyond a doubt, shadow of a doubt. Now, I'd made a note that I didn't agree when Biden said, I'm going to find a black woman. I think yes. that's what started all the deal. When he said that, mm-hmm. if he just wouldn't have said that and then still picked her,
yes.
wouldn't have been an issue. Mm-hmm. But here's what I noticed about this deal. What was the name of the Judge Kavanaugh, right? So mm-hmm. remember Judge Kavanaugh, and he's crying and talking about Squee and, you know, all these different issues. Women, and especially women of color in that situation, mm-hmm. they have to be better poised
yes.
than any white man can be.
Yes.
You know, I mean, imagine if she just would have broke down a little bit. Imagine if she would have cried. Imagine if she would have said anything. All that would be just chinks in the armor that they would attack. Right. And so it just, it's
when Hillary cried on the campaign trail, they gave her hell for it. And in actuality, it humanized it for most people.
It did. It did. But when she was getting drilled about, God, I forget the deal where the people got killed and she had to go sit in that hearing
Benghazi,
all
yeah.
day. Benghazi. And she was just very strong and poised. But the fact that women, and again, especially women of color, mm-hmm. have to maintain a higher level than a white man to be able to get a job that they are qualified for.
Mm-hmm. And the fact, and I can't remember who asked the question. Was it Cruz or was it Graham who was like asking the questions about Kavanaugh? Like, well, what if we went to dig up some stuff and we found some stuff about you like they did and made up some stuff like they did with Kavanaugh? And I'm like, and her response was like, I had nothing to do with that. I don't know how to even answer that because I had nothing to do with that. And it made no sense. It was the fact that he was just trying to create this crazy narrative. But then again, that's where the Republican Party has gone. Republican Party has been hijacked so bad. They allowed Trump to hijack the Republican Party so bad that everybody's got to be crazier than the next. That's why you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene. So when people say, oh, Georgia went blue, it didn't. It went Marjorie Taylor Greene, too. Just remember that. So that's why the reason, like, one of the big things in Georgia right now is about gerrymandering, because they're trying to reshape the districts so that they can go back red, because you've got a lot of liberal folks in the Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. Like, wait a minute, we need it to look like the rest of Georgia.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's quite true. It was still just an interesting thing that I saw from that, but I'm wishing her the best. She's fully qualified, and curious to see how the vote goes. It'd be interesting.
Indeed. It's got to pass the committee first. As long as it gets past the committee, then it goes to the Senate. And if it gets to the Senate, Manchin said he's voting yes. So I think it looks like it should be a go, and we should be good. But
looks like,
you know, I'm not surprised by Ted Cruz. I'm not surprised by Lindsey Graham. Especially not surprised by Ted Cruz, because of course election year, and he's going to be running. I know you've done your part over the last year. It's been over a year since you've been campaigning, getting people to, you know, register to vote, make sure they get out and vote. But Ted Cruz was doing what he was supposed to do, going viral for speaking up to his base. So therefore, Texas could Texas, Texas could Florida, and Texas could Flexus, and he'll be right back in office. You like how I flipped it a little bit there, didn't you?
I did. That was a good job. That was a good job.
Speaking of flipping it, as we get to this bullshit, man, this story came in rgrtpod@gmail.com, and when I saw the headline, I'm like, what the hell? I laced my sister's wedding cake. Did you think the same thing I did when you saw this title?
Yes, I sure did. I was just like, wow, how evil is this? I'm like, tell me more. Click on this clickbait, and I'm going to read this.
Do you
story.
Have video?
Yeah.
It's a wild story because, you know, what happens, so he laces the cake with marijuana. The guest got, as he said, high as kites. And basically, this happened in Chile. And come to find out, his sister asked him to make the cake and said, just lace one layer. Make one mm-hmm. layer of the cake with marijuana. And they were after the cake was cut, they made sure to separate that so kids didn't get that. And the people who got it knew it was laced. Like, hey, do you want a piece of cake or do you want a piece of cake?
Yeah, yeah. I think it was just bad wording, because if I make you a crown and coke, mm-hmm. and don't tell you there's crown in it, mm-hmm. and I know you're an alcoholic, it's laced. Or I know you don't drink, that's mm-hmm. laced.
Right.
But if you're like, Yanni, you want something to drink? Yeah, give me a crown and coke. I didn't lace it. I just mm-hmm. gave you what you wanted. But I loved this story because I've been to media weddings that I wish that there was some weed in the cake, because it's so freaking boring. You know, and so you want to see people have a good time. And the story of his aunt who had really bad back pain, but after, yeah. you know, having some of the cake, a couple of hours later, she's out on the dance floor like she's a teenager having a ball. I'm like, yes, more people need this. You know, so maybe that could be a thing at all weddings, that you have one layer that is made with some THC goodness and separate that for the adults who want to have fun. Then you have the other cake for everybody else. But I would be curious to go to one of those type of weddings. I think it'd be awesome experience. Give me the cake.
I will say, after reading that, especially about the aunt with the back pains and getting up and dancing and, you know, moonwalking and doing the some break dancing and all that stuff, I may want to try this before I go to work out again. I mean, you know, because, you know, maybe that's what, you know, the aches and pains go away.
Yeah.
You just feel like,
oh, my knees feel good. Let's do this. I'm doing 100 squats today.
Exactly. You know, I will say this, though. You say it was bad wording. I say it was great wording, because there's no other way I'd have read that story unless it said that. and it said that lace. It was yellow journalism at its best because it's like it had a very enticing headline. I went, what the hell kind of crazy? I can't believe I'm reading this. Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah. Yeah, no, but I mean, how many wedding receptions have you been to? How many of them have you DJed where you're like, God, this is boring? This could use a little pick me up.
Excuse me. Any I've DJed has never needed any pick me up. Let's get that clear. Let's get that clear.
Okay. All right. I got it. When you're DJing, everything is good. Your music is the THC that everybody needs to have a good time.
And it doesn't need 2 to 3 songs to get everybody warmed up. On the first song. And that, folks, is how you bring that shit 360. Hey, don't forget, every Monday we drop our audio episodes. On Tuesday, we drop the video episodes on YouTube. And Wednesdays, we're back this Wednesday because last week was a journey so far. I know you didn't watch it, neither did we. Married at First Sight recaps season 14, Boston.
Yeah, getting closer. I was so glad when you told me that we could have the night off on Wednesday. You have no idea. Like, I went and had some great pizza, went to happy hour.
Did you have some wedding cake?
Enjoyed myself. close. I had something, but it wasn't cake, but it was similar. But it was just a great night to not have to worry about anything else. So I feel good. I feel recharged now that I can this week watch this bullshit again and get back into it.
Yep. Hey, looking forward to the rest of the season. Hopefully it gets a little bit better. And then, of course, after that, we've got a couple more things that we're going to look at because we've hit that that milestone. Thanks to you guys, the deal with the devil. Terrell's got to do another one. So we'll see what happens from here as we move forward. Don't forget to keep dropping your suggestions as which shows we should do. And episode 83, it's coming on the 11th when we talk about the skydiving experience. Jumping out of a perfectly damn good plane. What the hell's wrong with us?
It was fun. You'll hear all about it.
I can't lie. It was. Hey, I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of the bullshit you find on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.